The Choice One. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. Song of Solomon 6, verse 9a. The number of queens and concubines and virgins were mentioned as being many in the preceding verse, but the king's friend is only one. His true love could be but one. A bride cannot be divided. If she were divided, she would not be a bride. In Solomon's eyes, the Shulamite was so pure and perfect that her sisters did not compare at all with her. She is the only one. She satisfied him beyond all utterance. He addressed her always as my love, my dove, my fair one, my undefiled, my spouse. What a beautiful picture we have here of the bride of Christ. Do not verses 8 and 9 teach ranks of believers in the church? Here, four distinct groups are named. However, only one of them was destined to be the bride of Solomon. He married only the choice one. It is true that in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all given to drink of the one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. But in fact and experience, in the sense of bridal oneness, the body, the church, is not one. Paul said, I have espoused you to one husband that I might present a chaste virgin to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. The whole church was thus espoused, but as the apostle Paul feared, so it came to pass. The minds of the majority of believers are corrupted from the simplicity and purity that is towards Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3. They turn away from him as the one head of the body and thus are disqualified for the bridehood. They fail to lay hold of the provision made for them. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present her to himself the assembly glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27, Revised Version. But most saints do not yield to the necessary sanctifying process. First, they do not drink of the fullness of the Spirit which was given. Hence, they cannot come into the full joy, power, and wealth made over to us in the one baptism accomplished at Pentecost. The thirsty drink and experience the refreshing and anointing with the Spirit. In actual experience and not in name only, they become Christians, anointed ones. Certainly, only Bible Christians can ever hope to be in the bridehood of Christ. Likewise, only those who actually, practically receive Christ as the one all-sufficient head can come into blessed oneness with Christ. Certainly, in experience, they alone constitute the assembly glorious, without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians 5:27, Revised Version. Of such the Holy Spirit says, the mystery, this one is great, but I speak concerning Christ and concerning the assembly. Ephesians 5:32, Revised Version. Therefore, this strong exhortation is given. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the assembly and gave himself for it. And let the wives be subject to their own husbands, even as the assembly is unto Christ. Ephesians 5:24, Revised Version. Then the Apostle Paul concludes this comprehensive study of the church and her head by saying, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Ephesians 5:33. Similar unselfish love for one another is also required of the unmarried. It is not supposable that saints of any less mutual devotion should be in the bridehood. Impossible. Only such can be considered one. Only such deep mutual yieldedness and devotion can be termed without spot or wrinkle. Only such scriptural unselfish attention can be pronounced glorious. Can believers be in the bridehood who only want what they want, who go only where they desire to go, seek their own ease and comfort, who are not yielding to others for Jesus' sake, or are not willing to be led by others? Can they be called the choice one? Those who are sectarian in spirit, we are the people, wisdom will die with us. Those who hold to names other than the name of Christ surely cannot be called my dove, my only one. Those who compromise with their own flesh, those who yield to human sympathy or human operations, those who follow the spirit of this age cannot be members of the bride of Christ. No, no, impossible. Only a divinely tried and approved company out of the church will constitute the bride. Solomon made it clear who should be his bride. There could be no mistake about it. Our Lord also declares who should be his choice one. As the wedding day draws near, we hear him saying, even as Solomon said, my dove is undefiled. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. Love complimented by friends. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Song of Solomon 6:9b. At first the Shulamite sisters were angry with her, possibly from envy that the king should have fallen in love with her. Song of Solomon 1:6. The watchmen, when meeting her in the city at night, upbraided her. Song of Solomon 3:3 and 5:7. Later on, the daughters acknowledged her to be the fairest among women, but they quizzed her concerning the object of her love, wondering what super excellence she could see in him. Song of Solomon 3:7. While the fair one was coming up to the highest expectations of her lover, she was also rising in the esteem of her acquaintances. She proved herself worthy of being Solomon's wife. When he gave her such a full, bold, public compliment, her friends acclaimed it by similar notes of praise. That was a very interesting act of the drama. May we look for the antitype? May we expect the other saints will recognize and acknowledge a certain choice company of believers who will have qualified to be the bride of Christ? Why not? Of course, not all believers will do so. Some will insist, up to the coming of Jesus, that all the church will be in the bride. Others, however, figured by the daughters and concubines, will doubtless have sufficient spirituality to discern the excellencies of the bridal company, while not being able, seemingly, to prepare for it. They count themselves unworthy because they do not fully grasp the meaning of divine grace. Such, however, have a measure of fellowship with full overcomers who are the agencies of blessings to them. They receive spiritual instruction and food from those who are qualifying for the bridehood. Of course, they rejoice in what God does for and through them and for the faith and love which they evince. A false humility hinders some saints from speaking commendably of other saints, lest the latter should be inflated. The bridegroom sees to it that his choice one will not receive more tribute or praise than she can bear. They who entertain such thoughts, especially about those who have gone on with the Lord and have proved their devotion to him, do not know what pain, anguish, and grief they have borne. They would not believe it if one told them. They cannot conceive how anyone could come through such furnaces of affliction and persecution without the smell of fire upon them. Sometimes they blame the sufferers for their persecutions, not believing that they are suffering with Christ. All that most of us know is, after all, only what we know by actual experience. It is a vital fact that during the courtship of Solomon and the Shulamite, she received very little encouragement and few compliments from others until just before the marriage. The beloved was profuse and unchanging in his expressions of deep appreciation of his love. Already in Song of Solomon chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 were warm words of welcome and comfort to her. If it were not for the 20 fervent expressions of love and devotion to his friend, she would not have gone on with the courtship through the criticisms and hindrances that beset her. The same things are more emphatically true of the experiences of full overcomers. They receive little encouragement from other saints at the beginning of their running for the prize. Everything and everybody is against them. Full surrender is hooted at. Wholeheartedness is mocked. The seekers after full victory are accused of being overmuch righteous. Ah, you take yourself too seriously. The world will wag without your zeal. You are not so important to the Lord. Are you one of his pets? Ah, there are no overcomers. Such are the taunts of critics. Some believers are so impudently unbelieving as to dare to declare that Joshua and Paul were not victorious in their lives. They claim that Jesus was the only full overcomer. Indeed, they who will constitute the Lamb's wife suffer in their preparation with Christ. They become partakers of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:10. Oh, if it were not for the assurance by the word of being in his will, they could never stem the tide of opposition. If it were not for Christ's comforting voice heard again and again, the runners for the prize would cease running. The Holy Spirit, as the brooding dove, hovers over those who are tried beyond measure, soothing, quieting, and resting their hearts. He binds up the wounds that do not heal. He strengthens those who are ready to die with disappointments and grief. Beloved, have you ever read Psalm 22:20 and Psalm 35:17? Read these verses now. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Psalm 35:17. The word darling is only one in the margin, which is the meaning of the Hebrew word yakid. In Genesis 22, verses 2 and 16, it is translated darling because Isaac was Abraham's only son, darling. The bride of Christ is his only one, or darling. The enemies of Christ during his life and when he was on the cross are termed dogs and lions because they bark, growl, roar, bite, and devour. They are also enemies of the bride of Christ. It is a very sad fact that sometimes God's children yield to the flesh and Satan and thus act the part of dogs and lions as if to devour true saints of God. One more item. Is it not wonderful that when Jesus prayed for his own deliverance, he prayed for his darling also? Why? Because he counted her as one with himself, even a part of himself. By the Spirit, he was made to know that she would suffer even as he suffered, which would be equivalent to suffering with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. Seeing these and many other comforting truths in the Word enables the bridal saints to run without stopping. They press toward the mark or goal for the prize of the high upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. They so run that they may obtain.